we really do need Congress to step up and to come to the table with the resources that are necessary to have a first-rate transportation system.
You're listening to the ATM Podcast.
The Americans for Transportation Mobility Coalition has the pleasure of being on the line with Jim Tyman, Executive Director of the American Association of State Highway and Transportation Officials. How are you doing, Jim?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here.
Jim, we're excited to have you help us drill down on the need for federal infrastructure investment. But first, I want to find out how your summer's going.
Well, it's been a strange and challenging time here, as it's been for everybody. We at AASHTO, like a lot of businesses and organizations across the country, really haven't worked in our physical location since the middle of March. But we've done a really great job, I think, of adapting to working remotely and serving our state DOT members. I'm really pushing for the issues and priorities that they want us to advocate for.
Okay, so tell us what AASHTO is and what are your main goals for the rest of 2020?
So AASHTO is the trade association that represents state departments of transportation. So our board of directors are the 52 state DOT directors from across the country. And our main goals for the rest of 2020 are to advocate for Congress to come in and provide a backstop to the revenue losses that state DOTs have seen across the country since the pandemic started. As I'm sure all of your listeners are aware, when this pandemic started in March, we started to see a huge drop in vehicle miles traveled. And almost every state DOT across the country relies on revenue that's generated from gas taxes. And with that drop in vehicle miles traveled, we saw a huge decrease in the amount of revenue that state DOTs collect to be able to fund their operations and their construction projects. And as a result, you know, we're asking Congress to come in and provide relief directly to state DOTs so that they can continue to go forward with the construction projects that they had originally planned for this year and to continue to operate and maintain their transportation network. So that's the number one issue that we're working on here for the rest of 2020. The second one that we're really excited about as well is trying to get a long-term surface transportation reauthorization bill done before the end of the fiscal year. We were really excited to see that the House took up a surface transportation reauthorization bill last month and was able to move it across the House floor. And the Senate, about a year ago, also marked their bill up in committee. So I think we're set up fairly well for Congress to try to take on the task of getting a surface transportation reauthorization bill done sometime this calendar year. It's going to be a heavy lift. But we're really hopeful that they are able to get that done this year.
Okay, so in terms of state departments of transportation dealing with issues of cuts to revenue because of the pandemic, can you talk about that impact on your members and any halting of much-needed construction?
Sure, absolutely. What we're seeing here across the country for state DOTs is that almost all of them are having to pull back on the projects that they had originally anticipated moving forward with this year. At the height of the pandemic and at the height of those stay-at-home orders, we were seeing a reduction in vehicle miles traveled of roughly 60%. So if you think about that from a budget standpoint, if a state is seeing a reduction in the revenues that they count on to fund those types of projects and activities, and they're having to cut back 50, 60%, it's really, it has an impact on every state across the country. Now, we've seen that rebound a little bit as states have been reopening, and now we're seeing traffic volumes at roughly what they would have been, say, this time last year. We're not fully there, but we're certainly not to the point where we were earlier in the year, where we were at a 50, 60% reduction. But we're seeing states like in Kentucky, in May and June, they canceled the lettings that they were planning to move forward with for those months. So that was about $83 million of projects that they didn't move forward with in the months of May and June. They've also suspended work on about 100 different projects totaling $150 million across the state. In Maine, they're looking at a reduction of about $128 million in state revenues over the next 18 months. So I think, you know, those are a couple of examples of states that are having to pull back on projects because the revenue just isn't there at the state level for them to do what they had planned to do at the beginning of the year.
It sounds like a pretty dire situation. You served as the staff director of the Highways and Transit Subcommittee of the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, and you guided several infrastructure investment bills through. Why is D.C. struggling with bipartisan solutions on infrastructure, and how does this dynamic change?
Well, that's a great question. Well, I think that this still is a bipartisan issue. Transportation is an area that Democrats and Republicans in both the House and the Senate can rally around. I think that right now you're just seeing a very highly partisan environment in Washington, D.C., but I do think that this is something that they can come together on. As we come up to the elections here in November, there's not a whole lot that senators and congressmen can go back to their districts and talk about pieces of legislation that they've been able to get done. Outside of what's been done on COVID relief, there hasn't been a lot of signature pieces of legislation that either side can go out there and champion. This is a great opportunity for them to show that they can work together to get something done on transportation. Historically, it's been an area where they've been able to come together and reach an agreement. We're hopeful that they can find a way to do that this year as well.
How does AASHTO view the roles of both recovery legislation and surface transportation reauthorization?
When it comes to the state DOT revenue backstop, that is a different issue that we're really hoping that Congress deals with in this next round of COVID-19 relief packages that's being considered here at the end of July, beginning of August. You know, that's a separate issue. But then I do think that the Surface Transportation Reauthorization Bill can really serve as the foundation of an economic stimulus package as well. We're obviously going to be faced with some type of an economic pullback here due to what we're experiencing with the pandemic. And I think that it's a great opportunity for us to utilize a long-term surface transportation reauthorization bill as the foundation for legislation that could help the country recover economically. This is a situation where we could be investing in our nation's infrastructure systems, our roads, our bridges, our transit systems, our airports, our intercity passenger rail, our ports, and at the end of the day, we'd be creating jobs and we'd be upgrading our transportation network that our country badly needs to be able to be competitive on the world stage.
Okay, it's been a bit of a revelation for us at the Americans for Transportation Mobility Coalition, but we're discovering this a lot on social media. But what would you say to those in the public who haven't a clue that the federal government has a huge role in funding transportation infrastructure? Do DOTs and experts encounter this confusion a lot from the public?
We absolutely do. I mean, I think it's a hard issue sometimes to convey to the American public. When they are out there traveling, if the system is working well for them, to some extent it's taken for granted. If you're able to jump on a transit system and be able to take that to work every day and it goes pretty smoothly, or if we're able to drive into work or to use our highway network to run the errands that you need to for the day, and everything goes smoothly, it's usually something that's taken for granted. And you don't necessarily think who has a role in operating or maintaining those systems. But at the end of the day, the federal government has a role in funding a lot of the transportation systems that we use on a daily basis. From a highway and bridge standpoint, you know, the federal government provides roughly 40 to 50% of the capital costs associated with building highways and bridges. On the transit side, again, on the capital side, it's similar. So I think it's hard for us to find ways to convey to the American public the role that the federal government has, but it's certainly important for us to do so, because we really do need Congress to step up and to come to the table with the resources that are necessary to have a first-rate transportation system. You know, our transportation network really is the backbone of our economy, and we need to make sure that it's able to handle the interstate travel and the interstate commerce that can help our economy grow. And there's certainly a federal responsibility there to do that. And we really do hope that the American people understand that, so that they can put pressure on their representatives in Congress to fully fund our transportation network at the level that it should be funded at.
That's an interesting point, Jim. What are the three top concerns that states face over a lack of ongoing and adequate investment to address crumbling roads and bridges and to modernize public transportation?
Well, I think funding is the number one concern. And as I've said before, it's extremely important that the federal government come to the table with the funding resources that are necessary to safely build, operate, and maintain our transportation network. The top priority for state DOTs across the country is safety. So we need to make sure that we're maintaining and operating a safe transportation network for all transportation users, whether it's drivers, cyclists, pedestrians. Extremely important that we are able to put together a transportation network that serves all users in that way. I would say that, you know, we're really concerned moving forward about the predictability of funding in these economic conditions that we're dealing with right now in the wake of the pandemic. As I've mentioned before, the state DOTs are looking at serious budget cuts due to the lack of revenue coming in that they traditionally rely on. Those revenue sources have been severely impacted by the pandemic, and we're really hoping that the federal government is able to step in and backfill some of those revenue losses. We also need predictability from the federal government in the term of a long-term federal surface transportation reauthorization bill. State DOTs take on a lot of large transportation projects that stretch over multiple years. And without a multi-year federal transportation program that's been approved by Congress, it's hard for states to plan for those large projects that need to be funded and financed over multiple years. So the uncertainty associated with what's happening at the federal level from a funding and financing standpoint is of concern. And I would also say uncertainty associated with the workforce as well. You know, we're certainly struggling a little bit right now with making sure that state DOTs are able to keep their existing workforces in place. States are having to cut from a budget standpoint across the board for all agencies. We're seeing that some states are having to furlough workers because of state budget issues. And we're also getting to the point in the industry where a lot of state DOT experts are reaching the end of their careers and looking at retirement. And one of the things that the pandemic has done is that it has accelerated, I think, the timeline for some of these state DOT experts and transportation experts across the board who are at that age range where they're able to retire. So we're concerned about the future of the transportation workforce as well, but we're working very hard to address all of those issues. I think there are some great programs in place right now to try to incentivize and build that next generation of the transportation workforce, but it is certainly a concern that we have here in the near term.
What do you say to the skeptics in Congress who, for some reason, don't really realize the importance of investing in infrastructure?
I would say that investing in infrastructure is it's a great return on your investment, because at the end of the day, you're left with facilities that have a real impact on the economy. We need a well-functioning transportation network for our economy to really thrive, for you to be able to get goods from farm to market or from manufacturing facilities into urban areas. You need a well-functioning multimodal transportation network for that to happen. You need a well-functioning, robust transit system for urban areas to be able to flourish. We need connectivity to rural areas to make sure that we're able to get those agricultural goods to market. So transportation is one of those areas where it touches every single person's lives on a daily basis, whether it's directly or indirectly. So it's something that every member of Congress should be interested in, because it has a direct impact on their constituents on a daily basis.
Jim, thanks for your time.
Oh, I was happy to do it.
For more information, visit FasterBetterSafer.org.